It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Cassaro, and co-host, Dennis Bergmeier. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit us online, painlessslivingradio.com.
And we do say good morning and hope it is indeed that for you.
Oh, yes, it's a good morning. Any day the sun is shining is a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it could be nice and warm
could
instead
be a little
of nice
closer.
And cold.
Yeah, a little closer for the sunshine. It would be better for everybody. But we are here for the next hour to discuss your pain. As Mr. Announcer Man said, you can get to us at 888-440-4442 and discuss any type of pain you may be dealing with at the moment. The doctor will be talking about leg pain, chronic leg pain, hip pain, leg pain, knee pain, ankle pain, foot pain. There's a song in there somewhere. We will
I've
not
heard that song. No,
we will
don't
not
sing.
Belabor you with it.
Yeah, we don't pay for music licensing on this show.
Again, though, it is 888-440-4442. I have one question I would like to get out before we get in any further, because one of the topics here is gout. Now, gout, when I was a kid, gout was referred to by people as meat eater's disease. What is gout?
Meat eater's disease.
Thank you very much. We now move on at 888-440-4442.
Actually, gout is where you have a component of your blood. It's a normal component that's there in everybody, but it gets elevated in some people, and it crystallizes out in your joints. And when it does, those crystals are sharp like little knife blades, and they stick into the cartilage and cause a lot of inflammation, a lot of swelling, and a lot of pain.
Mm.
The typical joint that's affected first is the big toe joint where it attaches to your foot. And it's thought that the reason that joint gets affected so commonly is that it's probably a slightly cooler temperature than your knee or your hip or other parts of your body that are closer to the center. And because it's a little cooler, those crystals form there earlier mm-hmm. than they would somewhere else. So those crystal, that substance that forms the crystals is called uric acid. Uric acid is one of the metabolic breakdown products of meat as okay. a product of digestion. Now, it comes from other places, too.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of time, you know, for a long time, it was thought that it was people that ate a lot of meat that got that. But as we realize now, there are other things that cause your body to make uric acid besides just digesting meat. And the top of that list is consumption of a lot of fructose, which is a type of sugar.
That sugar rears its ugly head again.
And the reason it's such a big problem now, the incidence, gout used to be relatively rare mm-hmm. a generation ago. Now it's very common. And one of the reasons is that there's fructose added to almost everything.
Everything, yeah.
So that people are getting exposed to a lot more. It's like buying lottery tickets. The more you buy, the better your chances. Yeah, only this lottery is rigged against you. And well, I guess they both are, but this one's...
Yeah.
There are a lot more losers.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is awful painful sometimes to a point of making it impossible to walk.
During a gout attack, a lot of people can't even put on a shoe,
yeah.
let alone go out and walk somewhere. It's very painful. Fortunately, there is an almost magical way to relieve that pain. If more people knew about it, I'm sure they'd line up, but the topical anti-inflammatory medicines work literally within seconds.
Really?
Now, you may have to put that on 6 or 8 or 10 times a day,
mm-hmm.
especially during the early phases of the gout attack. But literally within seconds, it can take that pain out of the joint.
Is there any way to reverse the uric acid buildup? Anybody other than cutting back on fructose and meat or any of the things that you think
there are medications that help cut down on it. They work better as preventatives to keep it from getting to the point where it'll crystallize out again in the future. Not so well as far as getting you over the gout attack right now. But there are one of the best medicines for the gout attack that's happening right now is actually a very, very old medicine. It was one of the original anti-inflammatory medicines, and it's still available. It's called colchicine, and it works very well. And that can be taken by mouth or in a desperate situation given intravenously.
Is that one of the things you find in the bottle at the vitamin health food aisle?
Oh, no, that's a prescription medicine. Yeah, that's a prescription. And it's not readily available in the IV form. Usually that would be something that you'd have to order.
Right.
But in oral form, that's still in most pharmacies.
Okay, great. Great to know.
And it's not very expensive.
Even better to know.
Even better.
Even better. Do you see in your office with your patients that leg pain is something that maybe drives more people in to see you? Because that's something that our legs are used for everything continuously. And if it hurts to walk, if it hurts to sit, if it hurts to work, somebody's going to say, make it go away.
Yeah, I'd say so. When somebody's got an elbow pain, they can try to tolerate that for a long time. But if they've got a knee pain or an ankle pain and they can't get up to do ordinary everyday stuff, it's not like you can, when your elbow's bothering you, you can just use the other arm.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work too well with walking.
No.
So people tend to, I think, have a lower threshold for coming to see the doctor when they've got problems with their legs.
Yeah. So therefore, I would imagine that that would translate into the majority of what you see is got something to do with from the hips down. Or would that
I don't know if it's the majority of what I see, but certainly a lot more leg and low back problems than arm problems, neck problems, things like that. But the other end of the body is really responsible for a whole lot of visits to my office, and that would be headaches. Yeah, even though that's got nothing to do with weight bearing or very little to do with, with weight bearing, it's got nothing to do with the legs in most cases. Headaches tend to be really debilitating also.
You can't think. I mean, you just can't do anything when you have a bad headache. It just casts a pall upon your entire life.
Yeah, they're a real headache.
Pain in the neck. No, a little higher than that. I guess there are a lot of things that can cause pain from the hips down, but injuries are even minor injuries that you don't think should hurt, or injuries that you may have suffered months ago, maybe even a year or so ago, manifest themselves later for one reason or another.
Yeah, they do. A lot of times, not only do you get the late effect of old injuries, but also you get re-injuring things because you have to walk, okay? Mm-hmm. Anybody that's ever gotten a minor ankle sprain knows what it's like as you're about 2 or 3 weeks into the recovery. It's just starting to feel halfway normal. Somebody off to the right calls your name and you turn just a little quicker than you should have, and you got to start all over on that recovery process because re-injuring that sprained ankle.
It's easy to do.
Very easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So let's go back to a topic that I still find very intriguing, and that's referred pain.
Oh, that's where somebody else sends their pain to you.
Yeah.
Kind of like a referred patient. Like,
yeah, referral. Yeah. Yeah. I can't deal with this pain right now. I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. If only. If only.
888-440-4442. The phone number, leg pain, hip pain, knee pain, foot pain, any pain. The doctor is here for you right now. So give us a call. Or you can also go to painlesslivingshow.com and contact the doctor via email and get a direct response that way also. But right now, immediate response at 888-440-4442. Give us a call. We will be right back.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessslivingradio.com.
Our phone number here is 888-440-4442. And I mentioned earlier, prior to the break, that you can always get in direct contact with Dr. Cassaro via email from painlesslivingshow.com, and said he would respond, you know, directly. Notice I didn't say immediately. I did say directly, however. One needs to be a little patient when waiting for an email response, because, you know, the guy's busy, right?
Hopefully, most of the time. Yeah, I'll get an answer to all the questions. Sometimes I just don't have enough information to go by,
sure.
And I'll tell you that. But if I've got enough information to give a good answer, not only will I give you the best answer I can, but I'll select some of those questions
to share with everyone,
for featuring on the air, to help share your experience with the crowd.
That's it. Because, you know, the doctor knows that stuff that happens to you, you're not necessarily alone in that, and there may be other folks out there suffering from the same basic symptoms as are you. So we try to hit as many folks as possible with a fix. Here is the email of the week here. It says, Doctor, I was in a car wreck a year ago. It was a front-end collision, and the whole front of my car was pushed into me. My knees hit the dashboard. It felt like my kneecaps were shattered. Fortunately, I was not seriously hurt. Okay. Everything healed up except my knees. Nothing was broken, but I still have pain in my knees whenever I stand or try to walk, and the worst is going down steps or a ramp. Sometimes the pain is so bad my knees buckle. Now, I've had x-rays and MRIs, all normal. I wear a brace on my right knee. That's the one that hurts the worst. Now, the brace helps, but not very much. What could be making my knee hurt so much, and what can I do about it?
Well, the first thing that I think is most obvious is that the real injury is right there at the knees, where the knees hit the dash. And right under your knees is a little nerve that goes into the front of your knee. It travels from the underside of your knee, actually, goes into your knee to give feeling to the whole front part of the knee joint, including the kneecap and behind the kneecap and the end of your thigh bone and the top of your shin bone, all the feeling to the front part of the knee. And that nerve is very commonly crushed when you get people that hit their knees against the dash in a wreck, or they fall down and land in a kneeling position.
Mm-hmm.
There's a variety of ways that you can damage that nerve.
Wow.
I suspect that's what happened here. And there's probably a scar now in that nerve. And if it's a year ago and it hasn't recovered, it may be permanent at this time. But that's probably what's causing it. Now, the other possibility is, you know, if both knees hit the dashboard, the other end of that thigh bone is on the hip. And mm-hmm. right behind the hip is the sciatic nerve. Mm-hmm. And it could be that there was some sort of injury to the sciatic nerve. Or it could be a low back injury or a variety of other things that could cause the referred pain that you were asking about right before the break.
Right.
We can talk a little bit about more about that also. But based on what the information we have here, I'm going to go with the obvious thing, that the injury is where the knees hit the dash.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question about what to do about it, that's a tough one. If I had the opportunity to do the examination on this person, I could probably answer that better. But the first step would be just to do some simple diagnostic nerve blocks. Do a nerve block on that injured nerve,
mm-hmm.
and see if the knee pain goes away and if the person can walk around and go up and down steps and things like that without any trouble. If so, then we've identified the problem. And the question is, what kind of damage is that? Is it permanent? Can we do things to help free that nerve up, or is it something that we have to just find a long-term solution for? Now, the other possibility is you numb those nerves, the front of the knee gets nice and numb, but the pain is still there. If so, then it's the referred pain that we were talking about.
Right. Well, that's easy. One of the things that must be frustrating is when you have x-rays and MRIs and you get the report, nothing's wrong, and you know you're not dreaming the pain, you know, you say, yes, there is something wrong. Are there tests other than the blockages that can determine whether it's a nerve situation, or is that just the logical next step if an MRI and an x-ray show nothing?
Well, there are other tests that can be done. Unfortunately, though, and even though you didn't say it, I could tell because a lot of people experience it. They know, they feel like they're about to die from mm-hmm. this, and they get an x-ray and it's normal and an MRI and it's normal. And then they start thinking, this guy thinks I'm making this up.
Yeah.
Or he thinks it's in my head.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of people that get caught in that. And that's when it's time to go see another doctor.
Right.
And it's not necessarily that it's because that doctor's not any good. It's just that you're seeing the wrong specialty.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to go see, if it's a joint injury, you need to go see an orthopedic surgeon.
Right.
Okay. The other possibility is that you just don't have somebody that knows how to do the proper evaluation. The next step would be a nerve test, nerve conduction test, mm-hmm. to see if there is a nerve that's just not measuring up.
Right.
And if so, that's a real good sign that there's a problem there. There are two main types of tests. There are what we call, I guess, structural tests, anatomic tests. That would be your x-rays and MRIs. They show you what things look like mm-hmm. and whether they look normal or not. Then there are functional tests. That's what tells you how things work. And that's what the nerve testing is, because the nerve may look normal if we could see it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not working right,
it's not normal.
Then, yeah, yeah. You're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Now, you can have a joint that looks normal but doesn't work right. And that's probably the problem. Part of the problem here is that the x-rays and MRI show that everything looks the way it's supposed to do.
Right.
So it's time to do a test on function to see if things are working the way they're right. supposed to.
I have a picture conjured up in my head now of someone on an examination table with electrodes and wires and stuff attached to them to make sure their nerves are working.
Yeah, well, we usually make sure that the spouses don't have the controls. And that's just out of courtesy.
I mean, what actually entailed in the...
It's very much like that.
Is it really? Okay.
Yes, wires hooked up. And for a certain type of the test, there's actually a needle on one of those wires poke into a muscle in order to see how good the attachment is between the muscle and the nerve. Mm. So you can measure the conduction along the nerve, and then you measure the conduction between the nerve and the muscle. And then there's another way to measure conduction between the peripheral nerve, the nerve in the leg, up to the brain through the spinal cord. So there are multiple ways that you can measure. And then based on those measurements, we still can't measure everything, but based on those measurements, we can get a good idea if there's a problem where it is.
And then take steps according right. to get it taken care of. Ligament injuries and tendon problems. Now, I was absent this day in biology, so maybe you could help explain, but what is the difference between the tendon and ligaments? That's one of the things that confuse people a lot.
Okay, I don't know that I'll get rid of the confusion, but ligaments are what hold your bones together.
Right.
So where you've got a joint, like your knee, your shin bone's connected to your thigh bone.
Right.
That's ligaments that hold those together. Ligaments are elastic, supposed to be anyway, kind of like rubber bands.
Mm-hmm.
They hold the joints together, but they allow flexibility.
Right.
Tendons are usually attached at one end to a muscle and at the other end to a bone.
Okay.
So the tendons are what connect the muscle to the bone so that the muscle can make the bone move.
Gotcha. Okay. Now the tendons can stretch and stuff, can't they? Or ligaments?
ligaments are elastic. Yeah. They're meant to be flexible around the joint. Tendons, though, at the end where they're connected to the muscle, mm-hmm. they're a lot like the muscle. They can move, they're flexible. But the end where they connect to the bone, they don't stretch very much. They're pretty inelastic, shall we say, but they're still flexible. They move around like a pulley.
Mm-hmm.
They can bend and stuff, but they don't stretch.
Should you be experiencing pain, hips, knees, legs, feet, anything like that, feel free to give us a call right now at 888-440-4442 or any pain you may be suffering right now. This is your time to get in. No waiting, no copays, no nothing. Just get on in. Again, it's 888-440-4442. Hang with us. We will be right back.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now 1-888-440-4442.
And lo and behold, we have some listeners who have done just that. Let's run to the phones.
Yes, let's go straight to the phones. We're going to Sherman calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Sherman, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm on my feet. I'm not walking like I did yesterday and the day before, and I never... Yeah, it bothered me when I was sitting there, like even last night on the couch there. Get the right leg up on that couch and stretched out.
Okay, what happened to your leg? Sherman?
Hello?
You're on the air, Sherman. How can I help you this morning?
Yes. I was at the farm machinery show the last 2 days and done a lot of walking.
Okay.
And I get it in my ankle. Today, my left ankle hurts terrible when I stand up or put weight on it. Sitting here driving the car doesn't bother me a bit. But if I get up and walk on it, it really hurts. And I have flat feet, and I have orthotics that correct that problem. I've had them for a year, get them through the VA. And...
Okay,
that's about what my problem is, and I'm 82, almost 83, and that probably contributes to it.
Okay, are your feet swollen?
No, they're not swollen. I have had that problem, and I take water pills to correct that, but I haven't taken any LASIK in the last 6 months.
Okay.
So, no, they're not swollen.
Okay, so when you were up
and
on...
And my weight is not, for a person my age, I'm at about 150 pounds, at about 5'8"
okay.
in height.
All right, what I'm going to suspect is that your ankle pain is probably caused from a back problem then. Not to say that it couldn't be caused just from standing on your ankles for 2 days, but... chances are, if you don't have any swelling there and if you were walking around and not just standing in one place, then it's probably not a primary problem with your ankle. Do you have a back problem?
No, not really.
Okay.
I've hurt my back and went to the chiropractor and got it straightened out, and I'm careful how I lift anything, and... so forth. No, I do not have a back problem at this time.
Okay. I think that one of the things you can start with maybe is another visit to the chiropractor just to see if that'll help with the ankles. But the thing that you might even be able to do before that is just give it a little bit of time, because if the 2 days of walking was unusual activity for you, it could just be that you have to recover a little bit from that. A day or two, maybe back at normal activity and see if it goes away. Maybe soak a little bit in some Epsom salts. That can help relieve that pain also. And then if it hasn't gone away, let's see, we're sitting here at Saturday. If it hasn't gotten better by middle of next week, I'd say call and make an appointment with your chiropractor, because it's more likely that that's a low back problem than a primary problem with your ankles.
Okay. Yeah, it'll go away in a few days. I just do very little walking. The less walking I do, the better off I am at home on the farm. I got a golf cart, and I ride the golf cart from the house to the barn and wherever I can without walking.
Okay. Well, I'd say then that that level of unusual activity has probably aggravated something, and you just need to give it time.
Okay.
You might do yourself more harm than good if you start throwing a bunch of treatments at something that's going to go away by itself in a day or two.
Yeah, I don't take any pain medication, so.
Well, that's probably one of the reasons you're able at 83 to still get around at the farm machinery show for 2 days and all the activity on the farm.
Okay.
So keep taking care of yourself the way you are. It sounds like you're doing it right.
Okay.
All right, Sherman. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
All right.
Yeah, we've got another caller.
Let's go right there
instead of something else. This is going to Ed, also calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Ed, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today? Hello, Ed.
I was walking out in the snow, and I slipped and hit right on the point of my shoulder, and it's been about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I still, if I'm in the car, I can't raise my arm to turn the radio on or off. Give you an idea, I think they call it the rotator cuff area there, and it's painful in bed, especially trying to get comfortable. I suspect I may have to have something done with a physician.
Yeah, if it happened 2 weeks ago and it hasn't gotten better on its own, chances are that it's more than just a simple bump and bruise from falling. Have you seen anybody about it yet?
No, it's maybe gotten 20% better or something like that.
Okay.
Well, it
might not be a bad idea to get that checked out, and chances are it's the kind of thing that on a physical examination, your doctor or chiropractor could probably get a good idea of what it is. A rotator cuff injury is not a real common injury to come from a fall where you land on your shoulder like that, but it's possible. Usually there are other things that cause rotator cuff problems, but the thing I'm concerned about if you fell and landed on your shoulder is that you could have injured that joint right on the top of your shoulder called the AC joint. It's like the little notch at the top of your shoulder. That's something that is commonly injured by landing and falling on your shoulder, and that can cause a lot of problems for some people.
Okay.
And then, of course, you could have gotten something else, too, but that would be a common injury from that type of fall.
Okay. Let me just add that I did have a little rotator cuff tear, I was told, a long time ago, but I don't even pay any attention to it. That's why I thought I might have torn it further or something.
If you have a known problem there already, it would be easier to aggravate that. Because, you know, it's the weak link that always breaks first. And if there was already a weakness there, that could be. I'd say if that's what it feels like, I mean, if you remember what it felt like in the past, if it feels like the same thing, probably go straight to an orthopedic surgeon and get that examined.
Okay, that sounds logical,
Still, physical therapy is probably going to be the appropriate treatment long before considering surgery. But it's a good idea to get it examined and diagnosed and then start the appropriate treatment. 2 weeks is enough time to know that it's not going to go away by itself.
Okay, right. Okay, thank you.
All right, Ed. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. And you too can join in the conversation here at 888-440-4442. See how easy that was.
Yeah, I think we talked about this just last week or maybe the week before about when do you know when it's time to get an injury checked out.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I mentioned that with Ed here, but that's worth going through again.
Okay.
And I think if you're out 2 weeks from what seems like a relatively minor injury,
mm-hmm.
and it's not either well on its way to going away or gone, that's probably when it's time to get it checked out. Most injuries, the worst day is the third day after the injury. So if you're out 4 or 5 days from an injury, certainly a week from an injury, and it's still getting worse, that's you need to get that checked out. 2 weeks if it's not better, get that checked out.
Yeah, that's a problem too, with teenagers or even adults in minor accidents or sports injuries, playing softball, you know, weekend warriors or whatever. You hurt yourself, but you feel fine. You know that you injured something, but it's okay. I'm going to walk it off. I'm strong, and then the pain just sits there and kind of festers for, and then on the third day, it's like, man, I should have said something to somebody. This really hurts.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old paper cut thing. That paper cut, the day you get it, it's just, oh, darn, but
yeah,
it's not really a big deal. But on the third day,
yeah,
that paper cut has you where you can't use your hand.
Yeah, right, exactly. And don't wash those hands without screaming. Stay away from me.
And just hope that when you're helping out in the kitchen or something, your wife doesn't give you a lemon to squeeze.
That is painful. Oh, that is painful. You know, we were talking also before the break about the difference between tendons and ligaments. When someone sprains something, finger, you know, ankle, knee, whatever, is that a ligament injury, is it not?
That's correct. A sprain is a ligament injury. And a good way to think about it is that ligaments are like rubber bands. A sprain is when you've overstretched that rubber band, and it might even start to split a little bit. The more serious the sprain, the closer you are to that ligament rupturing completely. That rarely happens, but it can.
Okay, that was going to be my question next.
Yeah, now, the good news here is that our ligaments are not entirely like rubber bands because they also have a self-repairing system attached to them to kind of get them to heal and restore some of their elasticity and to work right again. So once it's stretched out, doesn't mean it's forever. It can heal back.
Simple yes or no question, though.
Yes.
Never mind.
No?
No, I was going to say, is immobilizing the joint the best way if you've sprained something? Just keep it immobile for the elasticity to return.
That's not a simple yes or no question.
Then
we'll talk
about
that after
for later.
The break.
888-440-4442 if you'd like to get through one more segment together here. We'll be right back.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
888-440-4442. And if you feel more comfortable with the copay, you know, we'll
That's
take
okay. it. We'll figure out a way to have you swipe that through your phone.
Just before the break, I posited a yes or no question, which you couldn't answer with a yes or no.
Yeah, I'm like that sometimes.
And I will, you know, it goes with the territory, but I will repeat the question. For a sprain, is the best treatment to just immobilize the area?
Not usually. Here's the thing. It's easy to re-injure a sprain because it tends to have increased mobility.
Yeah.
Anyone that's turned an ankle realizes that for the next several months, every time you're going up and down steps or something like that, you can sprain it. Or if you've jammed a finger and you just tap that finger lightly against something, it seems like it's all over again.
Yeah.
So immobilizing that finger, putting it on a splint, immobilizing a knee, you know, wearing one of those, a knee brace or ankle, something like that, wrist, those all help.
Okay.
Especially in the short term, but in the long term, and when I'm saying long term, I mean once the acute inflammation and swelling is gone down, so within a couple of weeks, you really need to be working that. And I frequently recommend that people go through a formal physical therapy program, even though you can probably do everything they do at physical therapy on your own. There are some protocols that have been developed over time that tend to gradually take you through the recovery and rehabilitation process with a whole lot less likelihood that you're going to re-injure it along the way, so that your end result by the time you go through the therapy is usually better than if you try to do it on your own.
You know, a lot of us try to emulate some of our sports heroes. And when we watch the college basketball guys, the professional basketball guys, they turn an ankle, they sprain an ankle, a high ankle sprain, which maybe you can tell us what a high ankle sprain is vis-a-vis a regular ankle sprain.
Sure. There are actually two bones in your lower leg, just like there are two bones in your forearm, and that's what gives you the ability to twist. You can twist your foot compared to your leg. And there are ligaments that connect those two bones together. So if that's the ligament that gets strained, that's what's called a high ankle sprain. If it's the ligaments that hold your leg bones to your foot bone, that's the typical ankle sprain.
Okay. All right, so whichever happens, a lot of times, you know, 10 minutes later, the injured party will return with a couple of rolls of tape.
Yeah.
And be good as new. A lot of us try to do that. That can't be really smart, can it?
Well, yeah, it probably is for that world-class athlete.
Right.
Because he's got a lot more going for him than just that ankle. Plus, his repair system, his healing capabilities are in overdrive compared to the average couch potato.
Yeah, I mean, but for us to emulate them is probably not the smartest move
we could make. It's not very smart. Probably better to take some time off. Even for them, they're running a risk of re-injury where instead of being in the game next week, they might be out for 6 weeks.
Mm.
So there is a risk.
Yeah.
But if their contract has clauses in it that allow them to get paid a certain amount per game that they appear in, then they're probably going to take that risk.
Right, exactly.
I think before you decide to take that risk, look at your contract with the couch. And if you don't have clauses in there that get you paid for appearance, then you probably need to lay off the sports until you recover.
How much of a contributing factor is bad shoes to having painful feet?
It's a contributing factor. For women, I'd say it's like 99%. For men, yeah, it's up there. But especially if we're talking about things like athletics, most of the athletic shoes these days, there's a lot of good science going into developing these shoes. So that they're probably not a major source of foot problems. But you look at anybody out there doing labor for a living and look at the garment that they spend the most money on.
It's their shoes.
It's their shoes. And they know why. Because as long as their feet feel good, they can keep going.
Yeah, right. That's it. It's very important to keep the feet working.
Good quality pair of shoes is well worth, you know, if you have to take one day off work, you've lost everything you saved on that bargain pair of shoes.
Yeah, maybe even more, depending on what you do.
Yep.
So, I was just wondering that, because so many people, you know, get fashion has to hurt, you know, beauty ain't easy, or whatever little excuse that the girl next door is going to be using for wearing those terribly attractive yet oh so uncomfortable shoes.
Well, the thing is, when you look at the women, when they first put the shoes on, you know, they're all smiles and everything. Mm-hmm. But look at them after, like, mid-morning. Mm-hmm. They got a grimace on their face.
Yeah.
And they don't look as attractive as they think they do when their face shows what they're really feeling.
Yeah. Now, what's the difference between, you know, normal shoes, everyday shoes, and the orthopedic style shoes that people who are on their feet a lot will wear?
Well, if you're talking about custom shoes, there's a good reason to get custom shoes if there's anything about your foot that's not ordinary.
Okay.
And that's just because you need to get support in the right places. And if your foot's not shaped like everybody else with a foot your size, then the support's probably not going to be in the right place. So there's a good place for custom shoes.
Right.
But having said that, I'll go back and say that for most people, the arch supports with the heel cup that you can buy off the shelf at any drugstore or a lot of grocery stores, for like 90% of the people, those are fine. You don't need to go to a custom shoe insert.
Right. Okay. That's good to know. Our phone number here is 888-440-4442. You can use it now. You can use it any Saturday between 11 and noon Eastern time when the doctor is here, ready, willing, and able to let you fix whatever ails you.
That's right. Best I can do through the radio.
That's it. But there are an awful lot of things you can do at home. You don't have to actually come to the doctor's office, and at least at the beginning of feeling some pain, to try to mitigate it or see if it can indeed be taken care of over the counter or at home in your spare time.
Sure. And when we're talking about the legs, probably the most common things would be knee problems or hip problems. And for both of those, the first thing to do at home is to just don't do whatever it did that caused it to start.
Are you giving me, it hurts when I do this, then don't do
don't
that?
Do
is
it.
That what you've just told me?
That's what I told you. If you get to that 2 weeks out and it's still bothering you, especially if we're talking about your legs that you need to be up on all the time, even though you can do a lot of things at home, you probably need to get it checked out.
Yeah.
Now, certainly, if you did something relatively minor and now you can't walk on your leg, I wouldn't wait the 2 weeks. I'd go somewhere right off the bat. And this is where you run into problems, because you can probably get into your primary care doctor, especially if you've got one that you see regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in there pretty quick. But getting to a specialist might take a while longer.
Right.
And if this is going to keep you from working, you probably need to push the issue. Because if it's that serious, chances are it's going to require some intervention. It's not going to just go away by itself. And even if it does, we're talking about a two-week time frame usually. Mm-hmm. And are you ready to take 2 weeks off work?
Right.
Waiting for that to happen, it might not be any better then. So you want to get in to see somebody pretty quick.
And over-the-counter pain relief is, I mean, there are various, again, depending on what's causing the pain, there are various ways to treat it and to mitigate it.
Over-the-counter pain relievers work really well for these acute problems. So do a lot of those over-the-counter braces that you can buy. Certainly, if you have a long-term problem, I would recommend getting a custom-fit brace.
Custom-fit.
Yeah, okay. Especially if we're talking about your knee. You want to get one that's hinged.
And where would one find one of those?
Those require a prescription.
Okay.
And they do have to fit you and make sure that the hinge is adjusted right, things like that. Because your knee doesn't just bend like a door hinge. It's got a more complex motion.
Of course it
than
would.
That.
Right.
So it's a complex hinge. But that's the kind of thing that will allow you to wear the brace long term without the brace causing new problems on top of what
you had. So to get that prescription, you look at a pain doctor or orthopedist?
Orthopedic surgeon or a pain doctor. Even your family doctor could order that.
Okay. If that, would that be their first? Well, I'm not going to ask that question because that's going to ask you to go far afield of where you need to be.
I hear the music that we're at the end of the show
now. Saved
by the bell. Yeah, saved by the bell. It's probably too late to call in for this week. In fact, it is. We're not going to answer the phone if you do. But
that's right.
Call next week if you have any questions about chronic pain, anything I can help you with to live a more pain-free life with self-help or direct you towards professional help.
And write the number down and remember it. It is 888-440-4442 or painlesslivingshow.com. Get in touch with the doctor via email that way. And we will be back next Saturday. Hope you will say the same thing.
I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And co-host John Ashton. You have a very good week.